Gospel writer Luke details Jesus coming along his disciples on the road to Emmaus after the resurrection. It's really a beautiful account. It's an unusual account. Jesus is ministering to his disciples while the disciples were not even aware that it was him coming alongside them.
And Jesus, with a subtle casualness, not forcing himself upon them, seemed to be letting them decide if he would continue with them or just be on his way. Seriously, how amazing is it that Jesus just comes alongside these guys, walks with them, and helps them sort things out? They really had no clue.
There is something about this Emmaus Road journey that resonates with how we view our relationship with students at this time. We come alongside them at times of transitions or aloneness or even crisis.
Some of our students do have an established faith in Christ, but most of them are somewhere on that road to faith. Some have other religious backgrounds, and others come with no religious understanding at all.
We love these students, and we love the work that we do here. And we need your help to walk with us while we walk alongside students. The financial support that makes our ministry possible is from friends and from family and churches.
These donations make our reaching, teaching, and mentoring students in our home, in the classroom, and on that road possible.
What may seem to you like a small monthly gift can actually go a long ways to make ministry possible. One of the things that has been happening this past year that we have loved is filling our home with students twice a week for meals and community.
And while there's a practical thing about feeding students, because college students are always hungry, we believe there is so much more to our gathering around the table than just filling empty stomachs. When students are with us, we try to lavish them with love, acceptance, and confirmation so that they know that this is a home for them while they're away from home.
But even more, in the Road to Emmaus account, the climax of the story occurred at the evening meal. It was when Jesus broke the bread that their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Look, whether we're leading a Bible study, making meals, or teaching in the classroom, ultimately, we want all of our students to recognize him. Thank you so much for your prayers, for your notes, and thank you for your giving.
It's so good to see everyone here in the house. Thank you for those who are joining us online. We, probably a little over a year and a half ago, it's probably closer to 2 years, Scott and Lori came and shared their heart with us of what God was calling them to do in Lithuania. And as a result, we began a series of conversations that led to us being able to partner with them in their first year of ministry on the mission fields. Before I go any further, I'm being told by our children's pastor that I have not yet blessed the kids and released them. So would you just extend your hands toward your children and let's just bless them. Father, we thank you so much for our children. We thank you for the work that you are doing in their lives, that you are protecting them. We speak your blessings over them as we are beginning this new season of life in preparation for school. Lord, I thank you that you are watching over them and guiding them. I thank you for our pastors, Mitch and Karen, who are taking good care of them and keeping them safe and allowing them to have fun and learn about Jesus. We bless you and praise you for this wonderful time that we have together in Jesus' name. And may everyone say, amen. Children, you may go to the back. Pastor Mitch and Karen are back there, and they will lead you to your class. All right, so about a year ago or so, the Olsons determined they knew that they had the call of God to go to Lithuania, and they came and they spoke with us about that, and we determined that we wanted to partner with them as their sending church. And so this past year we have had the privilege of being able to sow into their ministry and send them to be able to be effective on the mission field without having to worry about the financial burdens of having to raise funds. And so they have come back, and we sat a couple of weeks ago together and began to share some of the stories of what God is doing. And I tell you, I am truly amazed at how God is using them to do such a great work with the young people on campuses all the way across the globe in Lithuania, of all places. But God has something special for each and every person. And it's awesome to be able to think that we, right here at 24/7 Church, have the ability to reach across the globe and impact another part of the world because of your financial giving and because of your faithfulness to the kingdom of God. So we asked Scott and Lori to come, and they're going to come at this time to share a little bit about those stories that they shared with me and others. And we want you to open your heart and prayerfully consider making a commitment to partner with them in their ministry, as we are beginning to look at renewing our commitment to them and to see what that is going to be. So we ask you to prayerfully consider that. Scott and Lori, would you come at this time? Give them a praise, a clap offering, please.
Well, it is so nice to see you here today. It feels like deja vu. Does it a little bit? I feel like deja vu, except I was never dressed this comfortably. Let's go with that comfortably word. Well, about a year ago, we leave San Antonio for a country we've never been in, to a university we've never stepped foot on, to work with a group of people that we've, for the most part, never met except for a few interviews here or there. And it's been fascinating because from the very first weeks we were there, we said, wow, we love this place. And then we thought, wait, we've only been here like 24 hours. Maybe we should withhold judgment until maybe the 48-hour mark, right? And so then 48 hours pass, and we say, you know, a week later, you know, we really like this place. Well, maybe we should withhold judgment until school actually starts and see how it goes. You know, halfway through the semester, we're like, oh, we love LCC. We love Lithuania. Klaipėda is such a great city. And then we think, well, let's just last through the semester and make sure I don't get fired, you know, in the first semester, or maybe invited back to the next semester, right? And so that was kind of the story of last year in some respects, because here we are leaving San Antonio. For those of you who didn't know where Lithuania was, that star in the middle of the map, kind of star, middle, lower part, that is Klaipėda right there on the Baltic Sea. And if you need some reference points, Poland's a pretty good one, and Finland, if, well, I don't know, is Finland a good reference point for anything? Sorry, all the Finnish friends we have. Anyway, but that's our story, and that's how this thing has kind of evolved over the process. We do love what we're doing, and we're so deeply appreciative of all that Trinity Church has done, and Pastor Josh, and for letting us come and share our hearts a little bit this morning. Lori, do you want to just jump in before I keep talking?
Sure. Hi, I'm Lori, and Scott, as you have been, we've been introduced, but some of you we do know, you are very familiar faces to us, and there's a few that are unfamiliar, so just in case you don't know anything about us, we called this place and these people home for many, many, many years, and we are very thankful for that foundation in our lives, and we wouldn't be where we are, even in Lithuania, or who we are today without all of you. And so we are very, very grateful for that. And I don't even know. I should be more detailed in my thoughts. Sorry. It's a little different being up here. Anyway, we are home, but for a brief moment, which has been a nice kind of time to take a breath, just be with family a little bit. It's been different than we anticipated with quarantine and everybody kind of in their own space, not being able to get across to see everybody like we would like to, but this is a blessing to see some of you in person and many of you maybe online. So anything you want me to say in particular?
No,
I'm sorry,
fine.
I'm horrible.
You say whatever you want to say. Yeah. Hey, give me slide number two. We have this, you saw the video, and the video explained quite a bit about what's going on. But what do we do, and what's our purpose, what's our goal? We really have begun to see, as we are working with students, there are these kind of three phases, if you will, or three facets. There is the every student facet, and love, accept, and support every single student. So we've had 27 nations of students walk in through our front doors to share meals with us, a lot of that Mexican food, so that we are propagating the love for tacos across global. It is a global taco movement in Klaipeda out of our apartment.
I want to interject there. Though they do not know how to make Mexican food and do not really know what Mexican food is, there are Mexican food items to cook with in all the stores. So we're super excited. So when COVID hit and everybody was grabbing all the potatoes and flour and sugar, we could eat as much of the Mexican food that we could get off the shelves because nobody knows what to do with them except for us.
So. That's true. So, you know, a part of what we're doing is just any student, every student, and like I said, 27 students. There's 52 represented in the school itself, and some of them, you know, we have not met, obviously. But every student, whatever they walk in the door, you know, whether they have a religious background that is not a Christian religious background or any other religious background or any non-religious background or any anti-religious background, who cares? Come on in, have a taco with us, right? And we really have felt like establishing relationship with students is of key, critical importance, you know. I have been, for the last 12 months, I've been learning. I know I've been a professor, too. I'm supposed to be teaching. But I feel like I've been learning more than I've been teaching because I don't know that anyone's really prepared to drop themselves into an environment like that and to begin to understand culture and to begin to understand where students are and to begin to understand need in a way that is meaningful. So, I don't know. I've learned a lot this last year. Hopefully some of the students have. Hopefully Lori has. Okay, I'm not going to.
We've learned to be together
24/7. We've learned to be together a lot.
That's new.
Especially during the virus in a 400 square foot apartment.
Yeah, we have a little tiny apartment flat, and we are very close a lot of times.
Sometimes she would have to send me to the room. Okay.
But we like it. We like it.
But secondly, we have this goal as well of supporting Christian students. And as far as the Christian students go, you know, there is a large population of Orthodox and or other kind of Christian representations, but there's a specific group of Christian students that are what we would kind of be more accustomed to, more along the Protestant Christianity, faith, etc. And so we have a specific goal relative to that to provide encouragement and Bible study and very Christ-centered teaching and very Christ-centered encouragement. One of the big challenges in our world, you know, and this is probably shouldn't be something I should say, but I'm going to say it anyway, but because I won't be able to come back for another year, so you'll forget it by the time. But, you know, our goal is to not necessarily, you know, share about our American church and to somehow put it into the hearts of students from Russia or Romania or Kazakhstan or Pakistan. Our goal is to really export Jesus Christ into their hearts, not some kind of personalized orthopraxy or orthodoxy or something preferential to the way I worship, but really Jesus and Jesus alone, and trying to get that core element into their life is what it is all about, because culture is far too diverse to be able to manage those other moving parts.
So just a little bit of background, he's kind of alluded to it. LCC University, where Scott is teaching, is a Western Pattern University in Lithuania, but the students come from over 50 countries, so we really have an impact across the world, and not just in Lithuania, and you as well, as you're investing in us and supporting us, to all of the countries of the world, which is super exciting.
Yeah. So one of the things in addition in the third part of that, and you could probably guess that the larger group of people is going to be to the far left, every student, and a smaller segment of group in that middle. And then the smallest segment of group of students that we are identifying with and connecting with in a very strong mentoring way and working through. We have some just amazing students. And you know what? Every student that I've met at LCC, pretty much, almost everyone, is an amazing student. And I just cannot, I know it's live, the world could be watching. probably the student that isn't the amazing student, the only one. It probably isn't watching, so we're probably safe. But just an amazing crew of students, you know, and their heart for doing something in their world is fantastic. And whether that's whatever their background is, and their commitment to growth and their commitment to learning is just such a blessing to be a part of. And honestly, I've learned so much from the students, probably more than they've learned from me. But back to this third part, very specific students that we've had a chance to begin to connect with. And we were thinking about the virus situation that did it squash or stop some of our ministry from happening. In retrospect, it actually strengthened what we were doing because it allowed us to be at LCC for the entirety of the summer, for the most part. I taught two classes during the summer. Two during the summer. And really allowed a greater establishment as far as in that environment and what I was doing in terms of the academics and some of the functions. And stronger relationships with students that we are potentially mentoring within the environment. If you can give me that third slide. This is a picture that is a common picture, and this is the mealtime slide, you know. And one of the things that I think has been really interesting as we have been trying to hear the voice of God is, what do you do in this place? Often people will share, oh, well, you should do this, or you should do that, or you should do this other thing. And I think, but, you know, this is not where we're at, or this is not where students are at. You don't understand the context of where students are coming from. And we take so much for granted as far as what you might think about freedom, or what you might think about what the role of government is, or what you might think about the role of family is. And there really is, in some respects, across the board, nothing that you can take for granted that is a fixed presupposition. And so you're starting with basically open waters of theoretical, philosophical ideals. But Jesus has led us towards, I believe, a life of a life together model for reaching, teaching, and mentoring. And that is just being with. You know, we're not running a church per se. I don't know that that's what God's called us to, but we are called to be with students. And in that, there's a lot that's going to happen. But one of the things that I thought was so cool, again, I don't know, twice a week for a long number of weeks, but one of the weeks that we were together, there was this cacophony of sound of foreign languages. And at one point I was like, okay, I don't understand what anybody is saying because nobody was speaking English. And on the other hand, I was thinking, oh, wow, that is so cool. Get my tape recorder out right now and listen to this thing. I would never understand it, but it was so, so cool. And I think that's one of the beauties of where we're at and the being together and sharing life together.
I just wanted to say something about that. One of the nights we were having meals together, we kind of tried to do some kind of conversation starter and have them go around and talk. And one of the things we said is, say one thing that you're grateful for, you know, and they, across the, you know, from one extreme to the other. But as they were sharing and we were going around, I just felt like the Lord said, this is what heaven's like. See all of these people from all these places, and they're all grateful. This is what you're going to see in heaven. And to me, I was like overwhelmed by that and really blessed and honored to be in a place where we have that opportunity, and super thankful that someday we'll all be together and in heaven and experiencing that. So,
yeah, yeah. If you can show us that fourth slide, just one of the things I was thinking about yesterday as we were putting some fine tune touches on this thing, we have been reflecting on how much less we would understand about the ministry of Jesus if it weren't for just the other times, the informal times, right? Now, I'm a big fan of Jesus. I'm a fan of Jesus almost exclusively. And I'm a fan of the Sermon on the Mount. I'm a fan of the teachings of Jesus, absolutely, without a doubt. But I thought to myself, how different would our perspective of the faith be if it were only Jesus on the Sermon of the Mount, and then, you know, he goes into his holy cloister and then doesn't talk to people until the next sermon? Anyway, I have some comments, but I'm going to leave them to myself for this moment. But think about the moments from point A to point B that sometimes we just think, well, we're in the road and we're, you know, cursing at traffic. But Jesus was never cursing at traffic, for for sure. But Jesus was always productive in those moments. And think how deprived we would be of knowing what was going on. You know, while Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, this passage from Mark 2:15, there was something fantastic, something that once we read it, we would say, oh, yeah. Well, that didn't happen on the Sermon on the Mount. That happened in a living room. Something that we will all relate to and all connect to. In Mark 2:23, one Sabbath, Jesus walking through some grain fields. He's just walking through some farmer's land, and all of a sudden there's something of truth that comes out and something of meaning that comes out. In Mark 8:27, Jesus going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 aside, told them as they were walking along. Again, another instance of more than that are on the screen. Obviously, this is just a few from Mark, others from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that we could add in, but that's not the point entirely this morning. But that in this moment, from the practical thing of life, Jesus expresses something of spiritual truth. And then Mark 14:3, Jesus sitting at a table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman arrived. And, you know, again, that story, another one of those stories that we look back on and say, wow. I'm so glad that we were shown this picture. We would be less if we weren't shown this picture. And yet this picture didn't happen in the temple. It didn't happen in a teaching court. It didn't happen in a place of public expression of doctrine. It happened in a living room. And so this statement, you know, our picture of Jesus' ministry would be less without the vignettes of ministry facilitated by daily life is something that just resonates with us in this moment. And that, yes, we do Bible studies. We'll do this, we'll do that. But really being with and being around and the daily things that we're involved with students, to us is where our hearts really are at the moment. Okay, not necessarily doing that. One of the things, if you can give me the next slide, that is the white slide with the FAQ, frequently asked questions. One of the things that's asked about us is like, oh, so you are a full-time professor at a university. Excellent. Which equates to, in people's minds, oh, you must have a pretty decent job and at least a respectable living. If you thought that, you could not be more wrong. One of the things that we do as a university professor and in our ministry, and one of the points of confusion as well, because that is truly a ministry that we do, and the ministry that we do with students outside of the classroom hours are a ministry of themselves. So there really is, because people will say, so you're a professor, but you do a student outreach. Yes. But you teach full-time. Yes. And you do a student outreach full-time. Yes. And they're saying, you do know your math, right? And I say, I don't know math. I know 100%, and 100% is 100%, right? That's like Christian math. You give 100% of your ministry time to this, 100% to that, and then all of a sudden you're given 100% of yourself. But the question is, you know, as a missionary on a campus teaching full-time, that is what it is, and we basically donate of our time and engage there. On this screen, I think this is interesting and this is explanatory. What the mission of LCC is to provide the kind of North American education in its best sense to students across the globe in a way that is manageable. And on the line list here of students are students from Afghanistan. Their household incomes are on average about $540 per year. $540 per year. So, you know, you think about how would a student from Afghanistan come to LCC and pay, you know, the exorbitant cost of all kinds of things that happen in academia? Well, they can't, right? Our students from Pakistan, household income of $1,530 a year. So, you know, some of us spend more money at Starbucks than that during the month. No, I'm just kidding. I hope you don't. But anyway, from the Ukraine, annual household income of $3,370. From Albania, some of our favorite students are from Albania. Average household income. Should I say that? It's true. It's true. Some of
they're all our favorite students.
$5,240 a year. And then this one on the right, that's us.
Us, U.S.
That's us and the U.S., yes. $65,760 in household income. And keep in mind that those from Pakistan don't have giant government models to give students loans and accumulate student debt. There's not people giving away money by the truckload and student aid in the same way as there is in the U.S. There would be no possible way to deliver what we want to deliver students. That is this not only transformative essence of who Jesus Christ is, but Jesus in the classroom in a way that meets their expectation and meets what they're also coming against. This Ravi Zacharias quote, which I'll read it here because I can't read that, it says, "The university is the front line in the battle for the hearts and the minds of students, the leaders of tomorrow. This is a strategic and necessary component in what God is using to reach leaders today." And so to walk into the classroom with a Christ-centered philosophy, to walk into the classroom, I'll be teaching persuasion and propaganda, I'll be teaching communication theory, and I'll be teaching two sessions of public communication in this fall. Next time I get to do some other classes, I don't know what, but one of them will be a class called Gospel Communication, which I'm super excited about, by the way. Really excited. But that aside, we can walk into the classroom and bring a Christ-centered philosophy of life, a Christ-centered philosophy of reality. While we're teaching communication theory, while we're teaching whatever we're teaching, it can be this that creates the correct kind of roots. And that's not possible for students from Afghanistan, Pakistan, Ukraine, Albania, or probably about 50 of the nations that attend LCC without us, all of us, coming on board and saying, "I believe in this. And this is worth my while. And this is something that we can do for students." That next slide. This is us. This is one of the coolest places in the world, actually. This is Lithuania. Klaipėda is on the Baltic Sea. It's beautiful. It's always toasty in the wintertime. No, it's not toasty in the wintertime. It's barely toasty in the summertime, and the water is cold. If you're thinking like Port Aransas, no, not at all. But this is us here in the winter in one of the most beautiful places on earth. And we just want to affirm your partnership is vital. The reaching, teaching, and mentoring students. We have students not only from severe economic hardship. We have students who have been told by their parents, "Please do not come back to the country that you were born in because you may be arrested the moment you step back into the borders." We have students who left Middle Eastern countries with their families. With the clothes on their back, okay? We have students who consider it their dream to leave a country, one of the Middle Eastern countries, and to be somewhere where they're outside of daily threat of death, right? And so we think about how do you impact the world? How do you impact these horrendous things going on in war-torn countries? Well, I don't know how to do that in a big way. I mean, if you made me dictator of the world, I could figure it out, but that's probably not going to happen. But I can do that one or two students at a time. And if you allow us, if you help us to get there again and continue this work, then yeah, we can interact with students from all of these countries and add anything to their life that we can possibly give and be there for them and minister to them.
A question that the students always ask from beginning to end, constant, is how long are you here for? How long are you going to stay? Are you going to be here just a semester? Because we do have most of the staff is missionaries, so they are full, like they have to provide their own personal funding to be there, like us, and they will be there sometimes just a semester because they need to get back to their paying jobs, or sometimes a year. There's a few people that stay longer than that. There's some that have been there for 18, 19 years. So the students are always very concerned, how much will I open myself to you because I want to know how long you're going to be there. And so it's been really exciting for us and also a faith step to vocalize all the time. We're here as long as we can be here. You know, we want to be here for you. Our plan is to be here maybe 10 years if we can do that. You know, as long as God is providing, we'll be here for you. Even to the last day we were leaving and the students were saying, are you leaving tomorrow? Can I come by and see you? I just want to give you one more hug before you go. And you promise you're coming back? You promise you're coming back, right? And we were, yes, we're coming back. Like, as far as we can tell, you're going to be here, you know. So it's very humbling to have a spot in their lives and a place of opportunity in their hearts, because they guard that very carefully. And so we are honored to kind of get to parent them away from home. We get lots of notes from their moms and dads, which is also really sweet and special. Just saying, thanks for being their mom and dad when they're away, or you've provided a home for them and they feel very comfortable there, and thanks for all that you're pouring into them. We don't do it for the thanks, but boy, it's a nice thing to know that we are impacting their lives enough that they would even share with their families.
So. Yeah, yeah. Well, I intended, as I walked up, I set my watch for 25 minutes on a thing, but I forgot to turn it. I forgot to start it. So I have no idea how long we've talked. I don't know. Anyway, but sorry if it's too long, too short. Nobody ever complains about too short, so we're going to let you watch one last piece of video.
Yeah, about the video coming. It's just pictures, but to us, this is what ministry looks like. It looks a little different than maybe what you would envision. Probably looks a lot different than what we would have envisioned. Cramming a bunch of kids in our very small space, which we absolutely love. We pack them out as much as can come. We kind of say, you don't even have to tell us, just come. They'll usually say, hey, can I bring a friend, or can I bring two friends? Or we never exactly know who's going to be there or how many we're going to have, and we hope and pray that we have enough food. Sometimes we have grabbed everything out of our fridge, you know, as it's happening. How about this? I think I have some tortillas. I can put cheese on this one or something. So we just love, this is a great opportunity of ministry, but just to give you kind of a glimpse of some of the stuff as ministry looks to us in this current season.
Yeah. All right. So thank you. Thank you. We appreciate you. We love you. Enjoy the last 2 minutes. Thank you.
Part of the mission and ministry of 24/7 Church is that we are the church 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. One of the ways that we commit to do that is that 10% of all of our tithes and offerings is dedicated to missions, to reaching across the world. And so we, this past year, gave way above and beyond that because we wanted to, we believed in the vision that Scott and Lori had, and we wanted them to be able to go to the mission field and to fulfill the calling of God on their life. We have determined that we will continue to give a percentage of that 10% to them as we distribute it amongst our other missionaries. And so your tithes and offerings are being affected, are effectively also supporting. However, we are asking, I would love to say, Scott and Lori, we're giving you guys $5,000 a month so that y'all can go and y'all can make an impact. That would be awesome. How awesome would that be if we could do that for each and every one of our missionaries? But that's not something that the church does. The church does not have money. We rely upon the generosity of those who give. And so if you're watching online and you're wanting to partner, we're asking you that you prayerfully consider becoming a partner with us of Positive Word Ministries. And so Scott and Lori will be out in the lobby here in just a little bit with more information of ways that you can sign up to receive their newsletters. You could support them directly, or if you choose to give through 24/7 Church, you can do so. I would ask that you would do this, that you would prayerfully consider, we're about to take up our tithes and offerings, and if the elders, the ushers would come at this time. We would like for you to prayerfully consider becoming a partner of Positive Word Ministries and the work that God is doing through Scott and Lori. This is a global impact, a global impact. They're in one place, and they're impacting the world as a result of that one place that they are. So I encourage you to consider that, and if you would like to just write down what your commitment is and drop that in the offering, and we will be sure to make sure that we are extending that commitment to them, or if you would like to connect directly with them, but prayerfully consider that. And let's stand. Would you stand with me? We're going to pray for our tithes and offerings, but before we do that, would you just extend your hands towards Scott and Lori and just come into agreement with us? Will you commit to praying for them and for the students? Let's just believe God together right now. Father, we thank you so much for the amazing gifts that you have placed within the lives of Scott and Lori as they have been here for many years ministering and serving, and now have left and continued the mission, continued the ministry, accepted the call to go and to proclaim the good news of who you are, to lift you up, oh God, in another nation, in another country. Lord, I thank you that you are doing a mighty work at this university as you are using them, Lord, to impact lives, to be a part of your church, wherever they are, Lord, whatever it is that they're doing, that they are shining your light and sharing your love. I pray that you would just continue to bless them abundantly, that you would protect them. May it be so, oh God, that you would place a shield round about them, that you would provide for them. We declare, Lord, that you are their provider, as you are our provider. And we thank you, O God, that you will uphold them and that you will sustain them by your right hand. I thank you, O God, that you use the church as that extension. I thank you that you use individuals to connect and to grab a hold of the hands and say, we are going to be a part of what the work that God is doing in your lives. So may it be so, Lord, that you would bring the provision and that you would bless them and prosper them. In the precious name of Jesus, we ask these things. And now, Father, we just bless the givers. Every single person, whether they're choosing to give here or they've already given online or through the other modes of giving, we pray, oh God, that you would just abundantly bless and prosper every single gift, oh God, and may it be so that you would multiply that to meet the needs, to meet the need of every single individual. I thank you, oh God, that you are our good shepherd and we lack nothing. we lack nothing. We will want for nothing. So, Lord, may it be so that you would just bless and prosper these things. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus, we ask. Amen and amen. You may receive the offerings at this time. Well, we are so thankful that you tuned in today, that you were here with us. We are excited that God is doing great and mighty things. We are able to have, for the first Sunday since all of this began, we have started our children's ministry again, and we are so happy that your children are able to come back on campus. I know for some of you, you're not quite ready for that, and that's okay. We will continue to have resources available online. You can go to the website at my247church.org and receive more information there. If you are being blessed by this ministry and you are being blessed by what God is doing here, I would encourage you to share. Let people know of what you are receiving here, and encourage others to join in and connect as well. Thank you so much for joining in today. Now, I'm just going to pray a blessing over you. Now, may the Lord bless you, and may he keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the precious name of Jesus, amen and amen. Be blessed. Have a great week. Remember, we have prayer here tomorrow morning at 7:30 a.m. and Wednesday night at 6:45. We'll see you then. God bless.